Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Please stand for the benediction. It's my privilege and honor this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say? Let us humbly and prayerfully read and study the Bible more. For in it we will find hope for every crisis. Yet more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we now take time to open your word, we invite your Holy Spirit to attend our time. Lord, please walk up and down the aisles of the church, touch our hearts and our minds. Give us wisdom, and Lord, more than that, help us to practically apply the lessons to our lives that we will cover. And we ask these things in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, please open your Bibles with me to Exodus 34 there. And Bob, thank you for our reading today. Exodus chapter 34, the title of our subject is the shining face of Moses. And this is our opening take. In the days of Moses, the church of the living God had to back off from him. They had a hard time dealing with his shining countenance. The Bible says, "Behold, the skin of his face shone, and they," that is the people of Israel, "were afraid to come near him." So the question is, how is it that he shined so much? And the simple answer was, it was a reflection of the glory which he had seen when he was with God in the mount. His shining face was a result of that partly answered prayer. He said, "I beseech thee, Lord, show me something." Show me what? Show me your glory. And of course, God could not at that time grant the prayer in its fullness. The Lord told him, "You cannot see my face and live." But though Moses could not see the full glory of God up on the mount that day, he saw enough to make an impression that lit him up. God is light, and they that take time to look upon him are enlightened and reflect that light all around them. A believer shines on men when God shines on him. The Apostle Paul put it this way: we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the presence of the Lord. So, would you shine here in the city of Holland? First, commune with God. Would your life shine with more radiance? Then let this be your fervent prayer: Lord, make your face to shine upon me. And if the Lord puts even a bit of the glory of his countenance upon you and I, there will be no lack of light and joy and power in our lives and on our countenances. And then in God's light and glory, we will be able to shine to others the same. Amen? So let's go to our text. Let's read the story. It's an amazing story. We're going to cover just a short part of it. Exodus 34, starting with verse number 27, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord, how many days and nights? 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not." I like the old King James language, don't you? Well, I think I heard one amen. "And Moses wist not." Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, follow the order of what's happening here. "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses then put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him." That is, until he went back into the tabernacle to speak with God. And so there we have just the quick glimpse of this wonderful story. We're entitling it "The Shining Face of Moses." Now, a fast of 40 days does not normally improve the appearance of a man's countenance. He is likely to look starved, wrinkled, old, haggard. Moses had fasted 40 days, by the way, twice, kind of back to back in this context here. And according to some competent scholars and authorities, they believe that he fasted a third time as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'm not going to go there on that one, but it is certain with a short interval in between, Moses fasted 40 days in the mount, came down, saw the children of Israel had made the calf. He took care of the situation. And then what did he do? God called him back up onto the mountain. And so Moses fasted 40 days in the mount of God. And then he went back up and fasted 40 days more. Little attractiveness would naturally remain in the face of one who had endured such a stern ordeal. But the Lord was in it. Amen? But the Lord whom Moses served made his face brilliant with an unusual shine and luster. The glory of the light of God upon him may have been the reason why he remained so strong in the after years of old age. Think about it. At the age of 80, God met him at the burning bush and gave him his life's work. So some of you in our crowd and some of you joining us live stream or online later, you know, some of us are getting older. There might be some here today who are approaching 80 or maybe a little over 80. I mean, think about it. At this time in life, God sits down with you and says, "Okay, let me give you your 40 career plan now. This is your purpose in life." So this man, Moses, at the age of 80, spent 40 more years guiding Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says that at the end of that, so at the age of 120, his eye had not what? His eye had not dimmed, nor did his natural force weaken. So those eyes which looked upon the glory of God were not likely to dim as he looked upon earthly scenes. And that natural force which had endured the presence of the supernatural upon the Mount of God could do and deal with the fatigues of the wilderness with no problem. God sustained his servant and lit him up with a measure of divine glory. And of course, Moses did not know it at the time that his face was shining, but it did not take him long to find out. As soon as Moses was off the lower flanks of the mountain and he was heading back to the trailhead, he met up with Aaron and some of the other leaders of Israel, and they immediately what? They immediately had to back off. I can imagine Moses thinking something like this: Aaron, what has happened now? And I can see Aaron down on one knee, maybe holding one hand up, trying to block some of the reflection of divine glory and yelling out to Moses, bro, you are lit up more than the Ramses Stadium at night during the champion chariot races at On. Anyhow, somehow Aaron explained the situation to Moses, and they did the veil thing to take care of the issue. And this is the interesting point to note. Moses did not know at the time that his face was shining. He soon found out that it was shining, and then he recorded the experience. He gives in detail the fact that the brightness of his own face and how others were struck with it and what he had to do in order to associate with the people. And I am positive that this story in Scripture was not recorded by reason of vanity or pride. For Moses writes about himself in Scripture in great lowliness of spirit. Thus it is written, we believe, under divine unction and divine direction, which means there are lessons here for all to consider, especially you and I living at this time in earth's history when we are so close to the promised heavenly Canaan. So as we read about the shining face of Moses, let us trust that the Holy Spirit will shine upon us some simple truths from heaven to enlighten us in these dark times. It would appear, so far as we can make out in this story, that the face of Moses continued to shine for a while after he came down from the mountain, and then after a period of time, the brightness began to what? It began to diminish. The Apostle Paul tells us about the face of Moses, and he says that it was a glory to be done away. But when he went back into the holy place and communed with God, what happened? His face began to brighten again. The brightness revived, and then he would come out and speak to the people with the same glow of heaven upon his brow. So check it out. When he addressed the people in the name of God and shared God's word with them and his commands and instructions to them, he took the veil off and he let them see the glory and the brightness of God upon his ambassador as he stood in the pulpit of the wilderness. But as soon as he was done speaking and he entered back into his private and personal life and character, what did he do? He put the veil back on to shade the glory of God, and thus nobody would have to be kept at a distance. So Moses quietly and kindly wanted to spend time with his family and with the people of Israel, and he covered his face so that he could do so. Now, Moses have just walked around camp day by day without the veil? You know, he could have chosen to do that. Walking around the north side of the camp or the south side of the camp, shining the whole time. But he did not do that. We see that Moses was as meek with the glory of God on his countenance as before it had gathered there in the first place. God put great honor upon him, but he did not make that great honor a display, nor did he wish that it should be seen at all times. For the people's sake, he veiled his face, while in ordinary life and conversation with the people, and only unveiled it when he spoke in the name of the Lord. So this is the deal. Are you ready for it? Oh, you're not ready. This is our first point to draw here. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have been born again and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are a child of the King. You are a member of God's royal family, and he bestows upon his children special blessings and honors for a particular purpose. And what is that purpose? To shine and to let others see and know the love of God and the grand truths from his word. If God has accepted and honored you, accept that honor. But do not attribute it to your own worthiness or to your own personality. You can ascribe it to the mission and the task that God has called you to as an ambassador and a witness for him, but let us never think that the blessings and the honors of God upon us are because of our own selves. Amen. The dignity that God gives to his servants is bestowed upon them because of who God is and his love for us, and then what he calls us to do. And it's not upon us apart from those things. Unveiled should be our faces when we speak to God and for God. But when we are among family and our neighbors and anyone in our daily walk, let us hide away anything from which we might claim superiority for ourselves. God has blessed this great Advent movement. This great Advent movement has been blessed with special light, and that light shines upon his church, and that church has spread this message around the world. And before Jesus comes, which I believe will be very soon, we're going to continue to light up the world. So we need to remember something along with that, and that is, God has given us a special task to share the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' messages, and that is a special task. It's a special mission. But we should remember that it is hard to be special and humble at the same time. And so, God called Moses to his mission and task. God calls you and I to our mission and task. And he will light us up when he chooses to. And we need to be watchful of the glory that God gives us. Amen. And to use it obediently and faithfully and not ever for self. Another question in this story that I find interesting, and that is the question, why didn't Moses see the glory of God's power upon his own face? Why didn't he see it? Well, he personally communed with God, and that lit him up. But here are some possible reasons why I think he himself didn't know that he was shy. I mean, he found out soon enough, but at first he didn't know. One reason is because Moses did not see his face. It was because he had been, I'm going to put it this way, he had been engaged with communing with God and obeying him so much that he just simply lost a sense of self and the things that he thought were important. In the mountain of God, God gave him the Ten Commandments. So was Moses obedient with the commandments of God and sharing the commandments of God to the people? Yes. Why didn't he see the shining on his own face? I would like to suggest he was too busy obeying what God had commanded. Too busy focusing in on his law of love. God also on the mount gave him instructions for the sanctuary service. He was too busy focusing in on the plan of redemption, this picture of God's plan to redeem mankind from sin. He was too focused on that to notice his own shining. He also was given information that he would write down and would become the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He wrote the Pentateuch. Well, where did he get all that information about what happened at creation and what happened at the time of the flood? Where did he get all that information? He got it from divine revelation. The glory of God was upon him. And so he was so busy focusing and communing on God and obeying God's will and his word that he did not notice his own shining. And is there a lesson there for us today? Yeah. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the members of the church all across the world were so focused on Christ's plan to redeem us, on God's word, on his commands, on his statutes, on all the teachings of his word, that we just simply lose sight of self and focus on God and others. Along with this, we see that Moses was much engaged in serving the people, doing good for others, so he did not recognize the shining on his own face. The story even tells us that Moses gave himself up for those what God called stiff-necked people. He lived with them, he lived for them, and he even did what? Offered himself in their place. You remember God told Moses one time, Moses, step aside and I'll take care of them. What did Moses say? Take me and let them go. What self-sacrifice we see in this man, Moses. Yeah, he never thought about the shining of his own face so much because he was so focused on God and in serving the people, in looking at their faces. Imagine being so absorbed in doing good and focusing on God and serving others that we do not have a thought or a care for our own personal reputation. I also believe that Moses did not see his own shining face because it never entered into his thoughts that his face should shine in the first place. When Moses was hiking down the mountain, he did not wish that his face would shine. I mean, think about it. He's coming down the mountain. He's getting close to the bottom of the mountain. Was he thinking that his face was shining? No. Moses did not wish. He wasn't thinking about it. He didn't wish such a thing. He was not saying to himself, oh, just wait till I get to the bottom of the mountain and the people check me out. No, didn't say that at all. He was too focused on doing God's will. I think another reason why Moses didn't know about his shining face is because he had no example of such a thing to even suggest the idea in the first place. There were two men in the Bible that had shining faces. Moses in the Old Testament, and who was in the New Testament? What did you say? Well, there are three people whose face is shown in the Bible. Yeah. Do you remember Jesus on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration? Yeah, thank you for that reminder here. Hey, you know what? His face didn't only shine. His whole body exploded in light. You know, when you read Desire of Ages on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know what it says there? As Jesus looked up and his heavenly Father was coming down. It says that the divine glory that was within Jesus, you know, human flesh could no longer hold it back. And rays of divine glory and light shot out from him upwards. And then the glory of his Father who had come down was shining downwards. And the light of divine glory going up and coming down hit in the middle. And Jesus shone. And the disciples, what did they have to do? Yeah, they fell to the ground. You know, had to get used to the glory. Then they noticed that Moses and Elijah was there. So did Moses get to finally see the fullness of God's glory? Yes. But on Mount Sinai, he didn't. God said, if I show you my face, you're done. So yeah, Jesus shone. There's another person who's shown in the New Testament. Who was it? Yeah, Stephen. Yeah, you have Moses in the Old Testament, Stephen in the New Testament. And in the context of Moses, of all those around Moses, no one shone. Did Aaron shine? Poor Aaron. You know, he acquiesced to the popular trend of the people and made the calf. So Moses could not look around himself and his surroundings to suggest the idea that he should shine or even how to shine. And this is the point. That's okay. Because did he shine? Yes. There's only one way to shine, and that is from being in the presence of God. And today we can do the same thing. We do it by faith. We spend time in communing with God. We are told in Steps to Christ that we are to do this first thing in the morning. We are to make this our first work, to surrender to Jesus day by day. And so the Bible says Moses wist not. He knew not. What I'd like to suggest is that it is best that our faces should shine to others and not to ourselves. If you might know your own excelling and shining, do not know it, for there is an ill savor about such things. Another way of putting it is there's not much to see when we wish men to see it. May God save us from knowing too much about the shining of our own face. And may the light of his countenance fill the whole circle of our being while we sit at his feet by faith, morning by morning. Then we will safely shine, and those who see our light will praise God, who is the source of all glory. So in the days of Moses, the church of the living God, what did they have to do? They had to back off from Moses. They had a hard time dealing with the shining of his countenance. The Bible says, "Behold, the skin of his face shone." And they, that is the people of God, were afraid to come near him. And how is it that he shone so much? It was simply a reflection of the glory which he had seen when he was with God. His shining face was the result of that partly answered prayer, "I beseech thee, Lord, show me thy glory." And God could not at that time grant the prayer in its fullness. But the Lord told him, and because the Lord told him, "You cannot see my face and live." But though Moses could not see the full glory of God on that day, on that mountain, he saw enough. Amen? He saw enough to make an impression that lit him up. God is light. And they that take time to look upon him are enlightened and reflect that light all around them. All believers, what do you think? All believers shine upon men when God shines upon them. The Apostle Paul said, we are changed into the same image. Think about it, into the same image from glory to glory as by what? The presence of the Lord. So, Church of the Living God here in Holland, Michigan. Would you shine in this great city? Then first, commune with God. Day by day by day until He comes. Would your life shine with more radiance? Then let this be your fervent prayer. Lord, make your face shine upon me. And if the Lord places just a bit of the glory of His countenance upon you and I day by day, there will be no lack of light, no lack of joy, no lack of power in our life or on our countenance. And then in God's light and glory, you and I will give and shine to others the same. Our Father in heaven, Lord, this day we recommit ourselves to you. And Father, as we day by day take personal time to commune with you, we ask that you would show us your glory, that you would show us your truth, and that you would empower us to shine and to share with others all of your love and power and truths for this time. Oh, Father, help us with this. We ask in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. And let all the church say,
you've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.